56 to Control 1 reporting in service. Starting mileage 7833, 7833. Officers Perkins and Walters.
Roger, 56. 6.03 p.m., starting night watch.
This is Don Reed. I'm a police recorder riding with this detective unit just reporting in service on the night watch. You're going to ride with us tonight.
156, contact Lieutenant Lugo in car 50 at Washington and Overland. Regarding a 311.
56104, we're in the area now.
A 311 is indecent exposure. We'll be on that case in just a few moments. But as I started to say, you're going to ride with us tonight and follow our investigations. And just remember one thing. The people you hear are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is what happens on the night watch.
Night watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch is presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now to car 5-6, already on investigation in the field, and your police recorder, Don Reed.
We're approaching Washington and Overland Boulevard now, where we'll meet Lieutenant Lugo of the Uniform Division. Straight ahead, I can see his car parked in the gas station. Lights off, waiting for us. Here we are. Now, let's get over there and see what's up.
The reason I wanted to see you is that I have a complaint here from a woman. This particular man exposed himself to her, and I have the license number here. I've run the DMV on it, and this is the name and address of the person. I'm sure she can identify him, and I wonder if you and Walter will follow this thing up and go pick the man up.
Okay, right. You got the address, sir?
Yes, it's right on this piece of paper here.
Okay, fine. We'll go right out there.
Swell.
You heard the lieutenant assign us to this exposure case. In plain English, this means we're going to pick up a suspect who evidently has exposed himself indecently in front of a woman victim on a public street. So, let's get back to our car and get underway. We've been driving for better than an hour. And as the suspect in this case lives in another city some, 30 miles away. A moment ago, we stopped at a local police station and picked up another one of their officers to go in with us. This is customary courtesy when you're working out of your district. It's just a matter of blocks now, but before we do, I want to lean over the front seat here for just a moment. Sergeant, I noticed that when the lieutenant assigned us to this case, he seemed a little more concerned than usual. Any particular reason?
Well, yes, Don. I think what he had in mind was that in this type of a case where you've got a man exposing himself to either women or children, you've got a man that is usually mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And this coupled with the fact that many serious crimes, including even murder, will start with this kind of a background.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't have to be premeditated, but quite often the victim will scream or will fight. And as a result, the suspect, in his panic, he may injure the victim or do her great bodily harm. And even in some cases, as I said, the results will be homicide.
Oh, I see. Well, that's why Lieutenant Lugo is so anxious that we pick up this person.
That's it. Let's see. This should be about the house along here. Wait a minute. That looks like the car out there. Yeah. This is it here.
This is it.
Okay. Kurt, I'm going to cover the back door. Do you want to pull in the front with the lieutenant?
Yeah.
Approaching the house now. Young lady coming up to meet us at the door. The suspect is stretched out on a divan, listening to the radio. Young fellow, nice looking. in the corner, a couple of young girls playing with dolls. The police lieutenant from this local city right here is identifying us.
Come in.
Thank you. Here's my identification.
Two gentlemen from Culver City.
Is that your car out in front?
Yeah. I've been working with
I'd like to take you along back to Culver City for some questioning with regard to crime that occurred in Culver City.
Do you suppose I'll be able to go to work tonight?
You won't make it tonight.
Isn't that funny, Sergeant? He's not even curious why we're picking him up.
He knows why we're here.
Yeah, but if I were being arrested, I'd at least ask why.
That's an important piece of evidence. He knows he's committed a crime, so he's not even going to ask why.
Hmm. Is the young lady here his wife?
No, I was just talking to her. That's his sister-in-law.
Hmm.
Seems his wife works. We'll talk to her later.
What about the two youngsters over here? They belong to him?
Yeah, he's the father of two children.
You know, somehow he doesn't fit the crime. Nice looking, well dressed. Could be the young fellow that lives next door.
Here he is. You ready to go, fella?
Why are you calling me, Daddy?
Well, Daddy, be back. Go and go see Mommy. I'll see you
right back.
Well, we have the suspect in custody heading back now for our car. We'll ride up in front with Sergeant Perkins. Detective Walter will sit in the back with the prisoner.
Appreciate very much for your cooperation, your department's cooperation.
I'll give you guys a ring on that deal. I'm very glad to have met you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you, Lieutenant.
If we can help any time, let us know.
Okay.
Thank you. Good night, sir. Good night.
In Culver City, the last couple days.
Did you know my wife works, so we'll pick her up?
What time do you pick your wife up?
Well,
you pick up.
No, I don't.
You have no idea at all?
Why don't you think a little bit about what's happened and start giving us the truth?
You know why we're down here just as well as we do. We wouldn't come down and pick you out of 3 million people in the county of Los Angeles if we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know that. So why don't you tell us?
Well, I can well imagine. There's only one thing that I could possibly imagine what it would be, and I can't imagine it could be that.
What is it that you imagine?
Well... Why don't you tell me, and then if you're right, I'll tell you.
Well, you know why we're down here. Why don't you tell us? We've heard this story before from others, too.
Well, I haven't committed any crime that I know of. I hate to...
Well, what have you done?
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed about the whole thing.
It doesn't embarrass us any. We've talked to people before on the same subject.
Well, a girl on the street corner saw me last night when I was, do I have to say it?
You tell us. What were you doing?
Sounds kind of silly when you say it.
Did you expose yourself to her?
Well, I didn't expose myself to her. I think she saw me.
What were you doing?
But I didn't intend for her to see me because I didn't see her standing there until I turned around, and then she was standing there. I guess she was waiting for a bus or something, and so I turned right away as soon as I saw that she was standing there.
You mean you had your private parts exposed?
Yes.
When the girl was standing alongside of the car?
Well, I suppose she was. Either she walked up or she was standing there. I didn't notice her.
Did you try to attract her attention to you?
No, I didn't. I went around the block and I came back by to see if she, you know, was looking and trying to see whether she had noticed or not. But
have you ever exposed yourself in the car just to yourself?
Possibly.
Well, do you do it when you're driving too?
I suppose maybe I have at one time or another, but I mean,
do you feel this urge to just stop and park all by yourself?
Well, occasionally, yes, I might say so. I kind of have my own views about that. And I feel I want relief. Well, that's the easiest way I know to get it.
We all do stupid and silly things sometimes, and each one has their own fault.
When you get this urge, do you ever stop to consider the surroundings or the area in which you're in, or anybody being able to see you?
Well, I might say, well, naturally, I mean, to a certain extent, I don't make any bones about heading off someplace to try to get to some particular spot or so on to do it. I always try to be very careful about having no one see me. Naturally, I mean, you don't want anybody to see you doing anything like that. But I certainly never thought that I would ever be picked up for doing anything like that.
Law.
You mean it's against the law if nobody sees you?
In case somebody saw you.
Well, I don't, but I mean...
That's why we're down here, to pick you up.
Naturally, I understand that.
We wonder how many cases have happened in the past in various localities that the police were not fortunate to obtain a license number or a description of the car, where there are outstanding crimes have been committed. 5-6, in with one. We open the booking door.
10-4-5-6.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on their tour of duty. The people you hear are not actors, and every voice and every sound is real. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. We will give you the final results of tonight's case at the conclusion of The Night Watch. And now we switch you back to police headquarters and police recorder Don Reed.
We've been here at headquarters for over an hour, and the prisoner has been booked and placed in his cell. The suspect's wife has been called to the station, and Sergeant Perkins and Detective Walter are in the office now discussing the case with her. Let's go on in. She's, sitting at the desk, small in stature, early 20s, modestly dressed, attractive, sort of a bewildered expression on her face.
But he does park the car, and then he goes with these fellows that he shares a ride with. Where did this occur?
Here in Culver City.
I mean, he's not even in this vicinity.
Doesn't he ever come up in this area?
Well, no.
He doesn't?
I mean, unless he comes after me.
I see.
And then I'm never at work that late.
Uh-huh.
This
what
is
time,
a,
what time
the
is
reason
he?
We're late tonight is because I was trying to get information on him tonight.
Mm-hmm. And what time did he pick you up last night about?
It was about 6:30.
Did you notice anything unusual about him last night?
No.
Was he at all nervous or anything?
No.
Well, he was involved in an incident last night prior to the time that he picked you up.
I just can't imagine that.
But how long have you been married?
4 years.
4 years. Have children?
Yes, I have two, and I'm expecting another one.
May I ask you a personal question?
Certainly.
How do you and your husband get along?
Perfect.
No disharmony or trouble?
No, we've always gotten along perfect. Were these children or grown-ups or what?
Well, these were adults.
Well, I'm just shocked. I mean, we have two children. I guess you saw them when you picked them up. My sister said they were crying. But, I haven't noticed anything different about him. I mean, he's always the same. He's very attentive to the children and myself. And he's been a good husband, as you know, and a father. I've never deprived him of anything, and I can't imagine anything like this. When could I see him or talk to him?
Well, it'd be better if you wait until Monday. So if you feel that you want to get a lawyer?
I can't afford one.
Well, I don't think you absolutely need one until we finish the investigation, and then you can see where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel that you need a lawyer, can hire someone.
Or, if necessary, you can continue service as a public defender.
So he'll be held here?
He'll be held here. If you want to contact the department Monday, I will have more information regarding it.
Okay, we'll come along with you then.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Is Lieutenant Lugo in his office? Okay, well, wait a minute. Here he is now. Never mind.
Lieutenant, Walter and I have been talking to this fellow, and he admits the accusations of the case. He appears to be a fairly intelligent man and normal in all appearance, but talking to him, well, you can tell he's got quite a psychiatric problem there that something should be done on it. Now, we're just about ready to make out the reports on him and wanted to talk to you to see what you recommend in it.
Well, Perk, you've checked into his background, and if he has a problem, I would suggest that you mention that in your reports and to the district attorney, and possibly it may lead to giving him some help in his particular case.
Well, he is perfectly willing to get the help. He wants the help. He has no prior criminal record, but talking to him in his background, well, you can see he has this problem that has existed for some time.
Excuse me, Lieutenant, while you're making out these reports, I'd like to go over for a moment and talk with the prisoner about some of the points you've discussed here just now. Sorry, with you.
Surely. Go right ahead.
Fine, thanks.
One thing on the report before I get
that all your statements have been recorded for police testimony as well as for the radio program Night Watch. And I'd like to have your permission to use this entire case for broadcast purposes, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
Now that you're alone here in the cell, I'd like to know how you really feel about this thing. Now, I don't want to discuss the possibility of mental illness or that you're a family man, wife, children. However, I noticed in the car you stated that you felt that you had not committed a crime. I think now that you realize that you have. But somewhere, possibly, there are other people suffering from this same compulsion. So if you had a chance to speak of your experience, what would you say to them? What would you tell them?
All I have to say is that if there's anyone, if this happens to strike anyone that might be listening to it, just, if you can take anybody's word for it, take mine. That it isn't any of it worth it. It just isn't worthwhile. No matter what the crime may be, today in that line, and no matter what satisfaction a person might get out of it, it certainly isn't worth it. It isn't worth an ounce of what you have to go through if you ever get caught. Now, I want to say this much, that I've been treated pretty nice by all the officers since I've been here. But boy, when they come into your house and you're waiting to go to work, they tell you, come on, let's go. Don't even take a belt with you because they'll take it away. That right there is enough proof that it isn't worthwhile.
Okay. Good night.
You have been listening to Actual Investigations as recorded from Detective Unit 5-6 on The Night Watch. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.M. Hildebrand.
Tonight's case involving the indecent exposure brings to mind that these suspects remain at large for long periods because the victims either feel embarrassment and fail to report the incident or provide the police with little or no description. In that event, your law enforcement officers are powerless to apprehend them. We must depend on the citizen and their cooperation to control this problem. In the case heard tonight, it was apparent the suspect was in need of mental treatment. This fact was included in the officer's report, and the court directed the prisoner be given treatment as part of his sentence. Consequently, when this man is released, he'll be ready to take his place in normal society. It is my honest opinion that the average citizen does not realize the real problems facing the law enforcement officer today, or the dangers they encounter to maintain public security. That's why we are bringing you the facts as they actually happen. If we succeed in bringing this message to just a few, then our efforts will be well rewarded in presenting Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have just heard on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of your police department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hedlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.